Hello, I'm John James, and together with Malcolm Wood and Dave Tinker, we're bringing you this podcast from the Pontins 2006 Brass Band Championships, held this weekend, the 4th and 5th of November, in the Prestatyn Sands Holiday Centre, North Wales. Malcolm, Dave and I were sitting in for regular presenters Anthony Bamwell and Ewan Fox, and together we hope to bring you a flavour of these 2006 championships. Unfortunately, no performance recordings, as there was no professional recording company in attendance. However, we hope to bring you an insight into how the championships unfolded, with interviews, with discussion and reviews of all five sections. Of course, being the 5th of November, it is traditional in the UK to set fireworks off as it's bonfire night. And so as we go through this recording, you may well hear some interesting bangs in the background. And that's the sound of the parties and firework displays that were going on throughout the evening as we were making this recording. Let's start with the championship section, where the test piece was Derek Bourgeois' Blitz. The winners, under Ian Porthouse, were the Pennine Brass. Malcolm, worthy winners?
Absolutely, John. Pennine have performed Blitz on a number of occasions this year on the contesting platform. They won at Tameside in April, and they were fantastic today. They really were. They put a very musical performance together, led by Laura Hurst, who was deputising in the principal Cornets chair. And they really did actually paint a very musical picture of the work. It's quite poignant in actual fact that Blitz should be used just a week before Remembrance Sunday. And this was something alluded to by Derek Broadbent when addressing the audience prior to the announcement of results about finding the right kind of musical picture. And this is what Pennine actually did today. Four bars rest is with one of the adjudicators today in the championship section, Derek Broadbent. Derek, you adjudicated in the box today with David Reed, and you've just given the large audience here an indication on your thoughts on the playing today and their interpretations of Blitz. It seems that the winning performance had those magical moments in it from what obviously are personal insights into the music.
I think, in accordance with what I said from the stage, it had most of the musical moments, because I don't think any one performance today had all the musical nuances that are really there involved in the test piece Blitz. But both David and I felt that they came closer to it than anybody else did.
It's now been revealed it was Pennine Brass that played the winning performance. Does it compare with earlier performances, or was it immediately striking to you?
I think right from the word go it was quite striking to us, but then it did have a few problems, and this of course was one of the things that happened in all the performances. There were always a door left open, and that's why we said there wasn't one performance that absolutely set the world alight. But this, in this instance, had more character and more of the feel of what the music is about, especially the slow movement, than perhaps any other performance.
25 years on, it's still a very, very difficult piece for championship section.
You know, 25 years on, 125 years on, anything you play in a contest piece in the championship section is still a difficult piece. I don't care what you say.
Outside that, was it quite a difficult choice putting them in order at the end there?
No, I don't think it was a difficult choice. I think we'd already done that. But I think the comparisons is that when the performances are not particularly clean performances, then there may be individual preferences as to what is more important than another in that instance. And having said that there wasn't really a performance today that absolutely set the house alight, then that must go all the way down from top to bottom.
I think one of the key things that certainly you said on stage that is imperative for everybody is to visualise the music and get a real understanding of it.
I think that the picture of Blitz, and I was very fortunate to conduct this in the Royal Albert Hall in 1981. I only got second, but it was a pretty good result with Brig House, you know, following our win in 1980. And I fell in love with the piece then, and I knew what the piece was all about and what picture it had to paint, and just some of the colours we're missing today.
Derek, thank you for your time. I hope you've enjoyed your day in the box, and I hope you've enjoyed the weekend as well at Pontins.
Oh, very, very much so.
The fourth section yesterday with David, and we look forward to catching up with you soon.
Anytime.
Thank you.
Right, thank you. Bye.
With regards to Pennine, John, I managed to catch up with Ian Porthouse after the results. Unfortunately, Ian was already on his way back home to Manchester, but when I spoke to him, he was really pleased with the performance. He paid tribute in particular to Laura Hurst on Principal Cornet and Rob Woods, who had deputised on Newfoundland, and he was really pleased. He talked extensively about the fact that he'd played Blitz with YBS at the Europeans a few years ago under David King, and he used a lot of that musical influence that Professor King had actually brought to those performances years ago in his own interpretations this time. And it's fair to say he was very, very happy. They've done well on Blitz this year. They played at Brass at the Guild in February. They won on it in the spring at Tameside, and it's a piece that's served them well this year.
Now, the bands from Wales, Malcolm, had a really healthy day at this championship section. BTM, Tongwil Ice and Tredegar all taking places and taking substantial prize money home to the Principality.
You're quite right, John. The ladies and gentlemen from the Welsh bands have had a fantastic day. BTM came in second place, and they put a very, very strong performance down from the number seven draw. They had a real musical shape, just like Pennine. They produced a performance where they actually painted a real musical picture. They had some fine work throughout the band, aided by Paula Russell on Repiano, who's over from Australia to compete at the British Open Solo Championships next weekend, and Gavin Sainer on bass. It was a really, really good show, and BTM will have been absolutely delighted to have taken second place. Third place went to Tom Gwillice and Gareth Pritchard. As with BTM, they'll be absolutely delighted to have featured in the prizes today. Gareth Pritchard conducted a very musical performance that, to be fair, wasn't without its blips around the stand. And at times, to us, it sounded just a little bit rough around the edges every now and again. But it did benefit from some fine percussion playing, it has to be noted, from Gareth's son, Gavin, who won with Grindfort last weekend at London. And it was quite a musical show. It wasn't without its blips. And they just nipped him from rivals Tredegar, who took fourth place. No doubt that the 4BR management team will be absolutely delighted to have seen Tredegar getting the prizes again. And to be fair, they played very, very well under Michael Fowles. From a relatively late draw, they played after Pennine. They constructed a musical performance. It wasn't without blips and blobs, but it did have a real musical flavour to it. Some fine solo work throughout the stand, notably John Pippin on solo trombone and the band's principal cornet. And also mention should also be made to Ian Porthouse, who, having came off stage and conducted Pennine, sat in the third cornet seat.
Taking the fifth and sixth bands, who get a mention obviously in the frame, we had East Yorkshire Motor Services conducted by Jim Davis.
Jim Davis, the legendary Corey and Brig House, to name two bands, cornet player. EYMS was a very, very good performance indeed. It was one of those that you're thinking, can it go further than fifth place? Can it sneak into a top three? And it wasn't blemish free. I think we should make the point, this is something that Derek Broadbent alluded to on stage, none of the performances, including the winners, were far from perfect. And it was a nice musical shape. Jim Davis gave the music the opportunity to breathe, and the middle section was quite nice. And also the ending of the piece as well had a real impact in it. Sixth place went to defending champion Staffordshire, who are actually going for a hat-trick of wins here. They played number 11 just before the comfort break for the adjudicators, and to be perfectly honest, they couldn't have really done any more to actually regain their title. Steve Bastable gave a very, very thorough and workmanlike performance that had plenty of fine moments about it. Again, the odd, a few clips, but perhaps it just on the day wasn't what the judges, Derek Broadbent and David Reed, were looking for in the box.
So there we are, the top six bands. Now, a range of bands in the rest of the section, Malcolm. Any that just caught your attention?
Certainly one or two, John. Kamarum Institute, who actually finished seventh on the day, put a very fine performance in from an early draw of number three. And worthy of note should be Pemberton Old as well, who played well. A few uncertain moments. And also Timperley, who featured Ben Rapp on Principal Cornet and Morgan Griffiths on Principal Euphonium. They had a very fine performance together that wasn't a game without blips and blobs, and you just felt it just needed a little bit more security at times to actually take it further up the field. But it was certainly worthy of note. What I would say, John, is that at times there was a lot of performances that were very, very similar. There were bands at the top, Pennine, BTM, Tonglen Lice, Tradiga, that were certainly to feature. But there were some of the performances that you're just thinking, it really must have come down to little things in the box that made a difference as to where they were placed on the day.
Saturday morning saw the first section take place in the Fun Factory Ballroom. They were playing the test piece Music for the Common Man, written by Kenneth Downey. Now, you sat through all the bands, Malcolm, and an interesting set of results thrown up. Chalford with Steve Tubb took the first prize. Do you want to take us through and give us an impression of what your thoughts were on the performance?
An excellent performance, John, but I have to say, for myself, not a winning performance on the day, but a very musical performance that benefited clearly from a lot of hard work that the band had done in preparation. It's worthy of note, for those people that know Kenneth Downey's work, Music for the Common Man, it starts with a kind of hymn tune. Chalford were one of the few bands that actually started together, and they built a performance from there. And it had lots of fine moments. A few clips around the stand, to be honest, that perhaps detracted from it. But there was no question in most people's minds in the audience that it was a performance that would feature in the frame. Just not for us, a winning performance, but I have to say, John, that didn't really make a lot of difference to conductor Steve Tubb, who I managed to catch up with literally seconds after the results had been announced, before he'd even had a chance to congratulate his band.
Four bars rested with the winning conductor of the first section champions, Chalford. Steve Tubb, congratulations. How does it feel?
It's unbelievable. We've been promoted from the second section about 2 years ago, and I mean, the band played well today, really well. It's a young band, and this is an unbelievable result for us.
Where for you was the winning sort of the winning bits in the music, really? What did you concentrate on?
What we concentrated on today was we said we needed to be lyrical and make music, and we talked about this long and hard, and I think we really tried to be very, very lyrical in our playing. We wanted to sing the music to the adjudicators, and I think we achieved that today.
How difficult was the opening?
This is a really difficult opening for a brass band. It is a hymn tune, and we always warm up on hymn tunes, and we're very complacent about it. And to actually get the right style and the right feel and the dynamic control that this guy was looking for in this score, unbelievable.
And what about a test piece as a whole? A good choice for first section?
Fantastic choice. I mean, I'm going to say that, aren't I? But I just love the piece of music. Kenneth Downey, Purcell Variations was a special piece for us, and this is even better.
And the band's staying over tonight, I take it?
We are staying over probably for another week.
Steve, you've come straight to 4BI. You've not even had a chance to celebrate with your band. We'll let you go. Have a great night, and we will see you soon.
Absolutely brilliant. Thank you very much.
Malcolm Wood talking to Steve Tubb, the conductor of Chalford Band. In second place, Malcolm, came Hebden Bridge with John Roberts.
Yeah, Hebden Bridge, John, put very strong performance together, but I have to say it wasn't a second place performance for us on the day. The opening was very, very good, and it was very steady, very musical, and John actually crafted a very musical performance out of the band that wasn't error free, but it had its moments of real music. Obviously it hit the spot in the box with judges Roy Rowe and Barry Thompson more than it did us.
And then in third place came Vernon Building Society Poynton Band with Steve Beardmore.
Vernon Building Society Poynton was an absolute cracker of a performance, John. In fact, we had them in second place. And to be honest, they can consider themselves a little bit unlucky that they haven't actually gone home with the first prize check tonight. They really did go for it right from the off. Steve Beardmore actually crafted a very musical performance, an exciting performance that really had moments of real musical quality, and they fully deserved third. There's no question at all that they weren't worthy of a top three place. It was just perhaps down to interpretation in the box of what the judges were looking for.
And then in fourth place, the Barnsley Building Society Band.
Barnsley was a performance that was very, very solid, very firm, very well controlled and very disciplined. And it made an impression, not just on myself, but everybody else in the hall that heard it. And it was just, it was again, it was one of those performances that just made you wonder, where exactly will it come? And they'll have been delighted to have gone home with fourth.
And then in fifth and sixth were Tintwistle and the Maxi Lead Metals Tinsley Band.
Yeah, Tintwistle played from the number 10 draw, and Dave Shutter did a fine job to bring a performance out of the band that was musical but not error-free. And I have to say, that was one of the ones that surprised us for sneaking into the top six, so apologies for that, Tintwistle. But Maxi Lead Metals Tinsley, led by Robert Taylor, who was joined on stage by his two brothers, we understand, put a very, very good performance on show from an early marker of number six. And again, it wasn't error-free, but what I would say, John, is that it was a real tight situation for bands to actually get into the podium places. There were some good performances, there were some indifferent performances, and it was pretty tight at the bottom, even to sneak into the likes of sixth and fifth place.
That's interesting you should say that, because there were a number of bands that finished outside of the frame that actually, you know, word round the camp was that we were perhaps a little bit unlucky.
I think unlucky is one of the understatements of the weekend, John, to be perfectly honest. Perhaps you're alluding to Marsden for definite here. Marsden came in 12th place, which for us was the winning performance. That was the one that really captured the music for us, the imagination of the piece, really got inside the score. The best sounding band on the day for myself, the best bass section. Cornets were terrific. Glyn Williams did a fine job there. The only thing I would say, which I've thought about since the announcement of the results, was perhaps the tempos were a little bit quick. That was something that I did make in my notes, that the tempos were quick, and perhaps it was one of those things where the judges went, no, we don't like it. It's one of those situations, I think, John, where they either go, yeah, we really like that tempo, great, let's go for it, or we didn't. And I think that probably influenced where they finished, but they can consider themselves very unfortunate, not just not to have won it, but certainly not to have finished in the podium prizes.
And were there any other bands within the contest that caught your ear?
Wrexham put a good show on. That Wayne Rushton's band finished in 7th place, and they were one of the bands that I've just alluded to, John, that can a little bit unlucky not to have sneaked into the podium prizes. It was good, it was solid, it was firm. It was one of those no nonsense performances, but it wasn't risky as well. It was more safety first. But the music came to the fore, and they played off a very, very early draw, and they did well. But they'll have perhaps considered themselves unlucky again not to feature in the prizes.
And that takes us through the first section and the championship section, which were held at the Pontins Championships in the ballroom.
Now, whilst the championship section was taking place in the Fun Factory ballroom, the second section was actually taking place at the same time in the Lunar's Bar, where the test piece was Daryl Barry's A Swiss Excursion. Kipats won here, John, conducted by Keith Wardle. A fair result?
Oh, absolutely, Malcolm. Kipats really laid down the marker. They were drawn at number 5, and they just weren't going to be beaten on the day. This was an absolutely top draw performance, a full, absolutely wonderful band sound, and very, very worthy winners.
Now, in second place came Phoenix West Midlands Brass, who ironically became the second band over the weekend to draw number 1 and get a second place.
An interesting performance and a very, very solid account. I mean, it was an early draw and an early start, but very, very interesting performance. They were actually due to be conducted by David Bishop Rowe, but in truth, it was David Mapleston that took them. And you can imagine he really went searching out the music, and a very, very good performance.
Third place went to Wakefield Metropolitan, conducted by Russell Gray. And just for clarification purposes, this wasn't the Russell Gray that is well known for conducting Leyland Band.
Wakefield Met put down a very good show as well. You know, when you look through these top three bands, they really were very, very good accounts. And no criticisms, you know, of any note. It was just solid accounts.
What about South Yorkshire, John, in fourth place? Andrew Dennis?
South Yorkshire Police performance was a little bit of a mixed bag. A very good opening and then, you know, a little bit of things going awry in the slower section, but the one thing you would say is that the conductor gave it lots of space and time.
Now, in fifth place came Unity Brass. From your comments, John, before we recorded this was one of the actual performances and results that's left you scratching your head, shall we say.
Well, it was an interesting one, Malcolm, because Unity Brass had done a lot of hard work in the early movements, and the second movement didn't go too badly, but then in the final movement, it was quite surreal because there's very important solos and a couple of the solos just didn't appear, and it was quite noticeable. But I suppose, you know, what you would say is that the hard work had been done in that early section of the work, and obviously the adjudicators felt that the shape of the music is important. But it was unusual to find an important solo just not coming in and thinking, someone's not quite right here.
The final placing, John, in the podium prizes went to Hawk Green Marple.
Yeah, this was a pretty good account, Malcolm. Pretty good account, you know. It was uncomplicated and a simple direct reading. And I was sort of taken with lots of performances like that. There was bands right the way through. You could fit a piece of paper between them, you know, they were that close and what have you. Overall, a very, very interesting contest, and I don't think any of the bands really went away without having contributed some really interesting music making. And I actually managed to speak to the chairman of Kippax Band at the end of the contest, just after he'd received the trophy.
Let's hear what he's got to say, John.
Four Bars Rest is at the Pontins Championships, and I have with me Colin Moss, the chairman of Kippax Band. Colin, an early draw, number five, but a very, very good performance. And what does it mean to you to be Pontins champions?
It means a great deal. We've really enjoyed playing the piece. It's been very difficult in parts for us. Like I say, an early draw. We are up out of bed this morning at 4:30. An ungodly hour to start playing a brass instrument. We're here by 8:30 and rehearsing in Bill Silver Band's band room, which we'd like to thank them for their services. It's been great. Like I said, we've really enjoyed playing the piece. Difficult, and it's one of them pieces, it either goes or it doesn't. And on stage, it went, and in the rehearsal room this morning at sort of 8:30, it didn't. And that's the look of banding, and that's how it goes. It's just one of them things. It's been great. We really enjoyed the performance.
Kippax have had an up and down time in contest results, you know, in the recent past, some very good ones, and then a little, you know, a dipping down and then back to the top. So hopefully this is the springboard for some more interesting wins.
Yeah, we have. We've had good results last year at Buckland, where we won, and then we come today at Pontins and win this. It's great, and we had an indifference result at the area, and we hope to put that right by winning next year's area and hopefully getting this place where we feel that we ought to be in the first section.
Well, tremendous performance today, and congratulations from all us at Four Bars.
So, John, that's the second section covered. But just rather than summing it up ourselves, let's listen to official adjudicator Roy Rowe addressing the audience before the official results were announced.
And straight over to Roy Rowe. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
It's nice to be here. Have you enjoyed your visit to Switzerland? First of all, I would like to just say on behalf, turn that mobile off. On behalf of Barry and myself, how much We've enjoyed your performances, and we thank all the bands and the conductors for their performances. As I say, we've enjoyed them, but I'd just probably like to talk a little bit about the piece. Not too much, I won't go in, I know what you really want. You've all banked your money in Zurich now, and we've all skied down the Matterhorn, and we've rubbed shoulders with the rich and famous in St. Moritz. So, what about the music itself? Well, just one or two other points that we came across this morning was the general approach to it. Now, at the top of the score, I'm sure all conductors will have seen the markings such as maestoso and agitato and what have you. Well, the opening movement opens with maestoso. Just because there's little dots under some of the notes, it doesn't mean you play them like pinpricks. Yeah, we need some sound, some breath. And that's what generally it was lacking there. Then we came to letter E. Now the tempo markings, Darrell, a good lad as he said we can call them circa. So that gives you plenty of scope. You can pick sensible tempos for your players. Now when I played this over the last fortnight or so, now I know I'm a bit past it now, my cell date's gone, but I found about 120 I could manage everything in there rhythmically and precise, and I thought, well, that's what they'll all do. But my gum, someone's gone a lot faster than that. Some fingers must have been on fire. But I think they've all done a good job. All done a very good job, but I think conductors, if you'd have taken it a little bit steadier, we'd have got a little bit more detail and your players would have been a lot more comfortable. Then we come to the second movement. Now there's a bag of worms to start with, isn't it? And Darrell in his writing, it gives us another problem, doesn't it? Because he says, it's in three movements, but we want it to go into one. And then it's the links between each movement that caused the problem. Now in the second movement, there's semi-quaver triplets, isn't there? And a lot of the time we got a long one and two short ones. We very rare got three equal ones. Ba-da-bum, ba-da-bum. That's all it is, as easy as that. So I think, you know, if you put a little bit more air through and keep the notes even, it's easier to play. When we come to the end, we're wanting to play that quiet, yeah? The notes stop because the air don't go through the instrument. You've got to keep the air going through. And then there's a problem getting from the second movement into the third movement because we don't know where the beat's going to go. That's how it feels like. And it's picking that tempo. It's very difficult, isn't it? It's not easy to pick that 3/8 tempo. And it rocked 4 or 5 bars before we got into the tempo. Generally you coped with that, but we did have 1 or 2 performances that whipped the tempo up a bit and it became ungainly. You know, the rhythm wasn't right and the bands didn't feel right. But having said all that, ladies and gentlemen, once again, we did enjoy the performances. It's been a good contest. Thank you for listening to me. Thanks for your patience. Let's have the results.
The third section took place in the Lunar's Bar on Saturday afternoon and Saturday evening, and John James, you were involved in this section both as a player and correspondent after you'd finished playing with Rainford Band. Before we talk about the actual performances that made the podium spots, will you just give us an insight, if you will, about Gareth Church's new Pontins Commission, Episodes in Brass?
It was a very interesting work, Malcolm, quite demanding, really, and it's certainly, you know, in rehearsal, it took time and a lot of effort to piece this piece of music together. It had 3 very definite movements, an opening fanfare and celebration, which was written about his marriage, really, and it had tubular bells and carillons in the brass and some very, very interesting thematic lines. And then that progressed and changed and became a quite solemn movement. And it was a piece of music that had some wonderful opportunity to make some crescendo and changes and colour. And it was dedicated to Gareth's ex-bandmaster, who passed away and was obviously one of his mentors, a guy called Sean Thomas.
Yeah, I think what was clear, John, from listening to adjudicator David Lukes and Gareth himself speak just before the announcement of results, is that anybody that knew Sean was really taken to him, and he was a very popular person.
Yeah, it was a lovely movement, that. And then the final movement was a finale, and was actually dedicated to his grandfather. And this music had some really quick, rapid playing. There was some interesting semi-quaver work underneath. There was some very, very interesting figures with flowing semi-quavers in the cornets, and some really challenging bass lines to meet. And one of the interesting aspects of the piece was the number of importance that the composer put on pedal notes. So you had challenging really deep pedals for both bass trombone and for the B flat bass.
Now, moving on to the actual results and podium places, Dave and myself work with you, John, on this section, and we flagged up a couple of performances early doors that sort of caught our eye. But you were back in, having played with Rainford for Eccleston. They won. On the day. What did you think of that performance?
I must comment that there were some very interesting performances of this work, and certainly Ian Bates and Eccleston, if you remember rightly, they got to the national finals last year.
That's right.
And they were a very strong band, and then they suddenly this year they've been just out of the main prizes, but they certainly came back with a vengeance on Saturday, and Ian Bateson gave the band loads of opportunity to go looking for the music, and they certainly give a performance of merit, and no question that when the prizes were announced, Eccleston was certainly there and thereabouts.
Whitworth were in second place. Were they worthy or not? Based on what the adjudication was saying, it sounded like the opportunity to have a bit of freedom for the interpretation of the music has paid dividends on the day.
Yes, they had some interesting moments in their performance. I have to say, I thought the finale wasn't quite as good as the middle movement and the first movement. But listening to the adjudicators and looking at our remarks, that middle movement, the solemn movement, that obviously was being referenced. One of the sections of music that if you got that nailed, you were always, you'd caught the judges' ears. And Whitworth certainly made a really good show of the middle movement.
Now, in third and fourth place came Flixton and yourselves, John Rainford. Great friends off stage, but when you go on stage, there's that competitive edge to it. Rainford competed and Flixton both at Harrogate, and you've got the honours on that day, but Flixton came out third this time. You heard them, they played it from number 11.
Yeah, Flixton are a class act at the moment, there's no question about that, and Kevin Gibbs conducted a really strong performance. They were a little bit straighter, if you see what I mean. They didn't pull the movement and stretch bars and do that sort of control in the music that Eccleston did, but they had a very, very good use of dynamics. Now, obviously, one offset the adjudicator's taste more than the other, but you were talking, it must have been quite close, because there weren't points given here, it was just placings, and Flixton put it down a very, very good performance, and as you say, we've been in competition so much in this year, Flixton and Rainford, that we've been nip and tuck. But a very good performance, and Kevin Gibbs has got a really, really good band under his wing there.
And what about yourselves? I mean, it's different from you're obviously not listening to your own performance. I was sat in and was quite impressed with it. It was a very solid musical show. What did you actually think when you came off stage? Happy?
we weren't so bad, actually. You know, we came off and we were a little disappointed because there were one or two clips and splits that just caught the attention, you know, just a little bit disappointed. It wasn't anything, you know, it wasn't anything dramatic, but you know what it's like when you come off stage and there's been a couple of moments and you think, oh, if we'd have only nailed that, we'd have been fine. But you know, very, very pleased. I mean, this fourth place for us has really capped off a wonderful season, hasn't it?
It seems to have done, John. It's, I mean, along with Flitston. I mean, Flitston have sort of jokingly said to us, please don't tip us anymore, because every time you tip us, we don't do very well. But Flitston and yourself have been there and thereabouts during the year. Moving along to fifth place, and that went to Waterland District Anderson Brass. And we must give credit here to Dave Tinker, who actually flagged it up. They played from a number two draw, and actually Dave said to us, that won't be far away, you know, boys, and they've got fifth place.
Yeah, he was absolutely right, wasn't he? And his comments were, obviously, I was in registry at this point because I was waiting to go on stage. So Dave was in the audience at that point, and he said to me, John, that was a very, very good performance. So obviously, it's finishing fifth. It was he nailed it, hadn't he?
He certainly had. And sixth place, Pemberton Old, Wigan, JJB, B Band.
They always give a decent performance, Pem. And in fact, acknowledgement to the euphonium player of Pemberton Old, B, because he had an absolute cracker of a day. He was really, really on the money. But overall, you know, some very good performances across the whole of the section. You have to say it was a challenging test piece. It was a new work, so there was nothing to reference it. You know, there weren't any recordings you could go to and say, well, I wouldn't, you know, and get anything. It was all down to the MD's interpretation. And what you found was there was quite variances in the length at the time of the work. You know, some were 12 minutes, some up to almost 15. You know, where MDs were taking different styles and pulling and shaping the music. So a very, very interesting contest and a thoroughly enjoyable one.
Just before we finish on the third section, I think it's quite appropriate that we should actually acknowledge James Scott. James actually spoke to the audience before the announcement of results and actually talked about the fact he'd had contact from Gough Richards, who said, I've got a score for you here, James, and I'd like to look at it. And it was James who looked at it and went, yeah, this is suitable for punting. So I think we've got to acknowledge James Scott here for actually picking out not just a new commission, but a new piece from a composer. And, long may that continue, because this is one of the key ingredients for pontins, isn't it? They won't be actually frightened of putting a new commission and a new piece in for a band to play. Now, the final section of the weekend to be discussed was the fourth section, which ironically started off the whole weekend on Saturday morning. The test piece there was Facets of Glass by Gordon Lamford. Dave Tinker, you sat in for over 6 hours on Saturday morning in the contest. Oldham Banleys, fancied to do very well in the contest itself, won. Worthy winners, Dave?
Yes, I think they was. I felt that they had a good start to the performance. It was a statement set out. This is a band to beat, listen to us. And they carried it on all through the four movements. I thought the third movement, the meditation, was the key factor. I thought it was so well played and so well controlled. And yes, I would have had them as a worthy winner. I have no reason to disagree with the adjudicators whatsoever.
Oldham are a good band. They've had a very good couple of years, and they now leave the fourth section to go up into the third. Perhaps they were a little bit smarting from Harrogate in September. Do you think there was an extra little bit of effort from when they played at band number 16 today?
Yes, I do. I felt that they felt they had something to prove, and they certainly pulled it off today. No problem at all.
They were conducted by John Collins, and after the contest itself finished, John James managed to catch up with John. Let's listen to what he had to say.
This is John James reporting for Four Bars Rest at the Pontins Championships, and with me is the winning MD from the fourth section from the Pontins Championships, John Collins of Oldham Lees Band. John, a wonderful result, so near second place in the national finals, but this must be a wonderful end to the year for you, and some very good results along the way as well.
Yeah, we've been working very, very hard this year, and we were trying to put right what we'd done wrong in Harrogate, and through very, very hard work over the last couple of weeks, we've managed to do that. Our piece was tight and it was controlled, and we'd really, really thought about how we'd approach it, and we thought that we'd never really nailed anything on stage yet to our own satisfaction, but today we really had.
And some very tricky moments in the piece, and a lot of hard work I expect went in the band room in preparation. Were there any particular elements of the piece that you really did concentrate on to take this wonderful prize?
Well, as David Reed had actually said in the remarks from the adjudicator, the opening rhythms in the 9-8 were very tricky to get right, and we'd had a couple of other MDs down to give us help. And Dennis Hadfield had said to us that the hardest rhythm to actually make is a dotted rhythm in a 9-8 rhythm or a 6-8 rhythm, and we'd worked so hard on that to make sure that the opening was precise that I think we got off to an absolutely fantastic start. And once the cornets had opened their gambit up, the trombones followed in very good style.
Well, an excellent result. Congratulations from us at Four Bars Rest.
Now, in second place came rivals of Oldham Van Lees on the contest field this year, Dodworth Miners Welfare Brass, conducted by Elliot Darling. Dave, they played number one, an unlucky draw, but they really set a marker.
They certainly set a marker, and one which I was wondering if anybody was going to beat. The difference, basically, between their performance and the winners, perhaps was the meditation section of the piece, where I felt that more control was used by the winners, but it must have been a very close thing for the adjudicators, but very worthy of second place.
And in third place was Alan Widdup, the experienced Alan Widdup, an Upper Mill band. They actually came on stage just before Oldham Van Lees. Worthy of top three, top four?
Yes, top three, top four, and the adjudicator's decision was third. It was just a little bit of loose playing at the end of the third movement, and I think that probably cost them, but even then I just don't think it was going to be good enough to challenge the winners or the second place band. I thought them two was well clear.
In fourth place came Goulburn Band. Again, they had a relatively early draw, Dave. They played number six. What did you think of their performance?
Quite good, quite fair. They did suffer from quite a few intonation problems. But overall, as I say, it is a very difficult piece of music, and they didn't give a fair account of it.
You say it's quite a difficult piece of music for fourth section, but would you suggest it's quite a good choice? It was a good actual test itself.
Yes, it was a good test. I mean, there was 21 bands that played, and a large number of them gave quite good performances. There was five or six bands who probably was never really at the races, but I thought it was about a right choice today, yes.
Course on Goulburn in fourth, we had Croft Silver in fifth place and Copper and Standish in sixth place. They actually played three places apart, 14th and 17th respectively. Good performances, worthy of top six, or perhaps a little lucky in one or two instances here?
Well, Croft, I mean, they sort of had a performance which was a little bit mishmash at times. They had quite a few clips and they had quite a few tuning problems, but what they did have was a nice compact sound which the musical director seemed to keep control of all through. They didn't take any risks. It was a safety performance, and obviously one that the adjudicators liked, whereas Copple, who was in sixth place, at times they even threatened to me to be a little bit higher. The flugelhorn player was undoubtedly the best player of the day in the soloists, but it just lacked a little bit of sparkle at times, and perhaps that's what cost them.
from the large field of 20, what sort of bands would you sort of say have gone home tonight licking their wounds or feeling a little disappointed that they didn't come further? Further up the field, maybe.
Yes, Barton Town Band, they played off number 9 row and they were 7th place. And it was quite a reasonable performance. But the one that really did slightly surprise me was Lostock Hall Memorial. They played very early on, number 3. 9th place is no disgrace whatsoever. But I just felt it was a performance that I personally would have had a little bit higher. I'm not certainly saying top 6, but certainly a little bit higher than 9th.
They played for Derek Broadbent and David Reed, two of Banding's most esteemed adjudicators. Before the announcement of the results, David and Derek, I understand, gave a quite detailed appraisal of the actual piece itself and what they were looking for. How valuable was this, did you feel, to the bands and the benefit of the fact that they are fourth section and looking to develop and evolve?
I think they shared some very positive things with the audience. You've got to bear in mind, 20 bands played, so when it comes to the results, the hall was full. And the people do like to hear what the adjudicators has been looking for. David Reed broke each movement down and spoke about the dotted crotchets, the minims, ritandos, all things like that, and said that this is the all-around thing. If you got them right, you was in chance. And when Derek spoke, Derek Broadbent, he just gave a general summing up of what each movement meant. And I thought it was excellent. Both of them deserve great credit.
Dave, thank you for your time. I hope you enjoyed the contest. It was over 6 hours, and it seems from what you've said, it was an enjoyable contest.
As a contest piece, I thought it was a very good choice, and it was a very good day's banding.
So, John, our first podcast, Pontins Prestatyn Stands 2006. Have you enjoyed it?
Yeah, well, you don't come away from a contest having taken a prize and not have a little bit of a smile on your face. It's been a good year, but some interesting talking points, wasn't there?
It's fair to say that the weekend has raised a few talking points, which we're now going to sort of discuss in no particular order. Let's start with a real positive one first, the adjudicators talking from the stage.
Oh, tremendous, wasn't it? They really did set the audience through the works at the end, didn't they? They got the scores and...
Yeah, I mean, David Reed and Derek Broadbent sort of made quite a lot of... went into a lot of detail, particularly in the fourth section test piece on Saturday morning, where David Reed did a lot of detail and then Derek Broadbent summed up. Yeah. And also in the championship as well, what was very noticeable was that David Reed came on stage and so did Derek Broadbent, and they sort of made reference to notes in the actual score.
Yeah, you're right.
And these are the kind. I know it's a bit of a hot potato at the moment, but these are the kind of things that people want to hear at the end
of
the contest.
Yeah, it was really well appreciated, wasn't it? Actually, rounds of applause, wasn't it? Because Roy Rowe in the section this morning, in the second section, it was really insightful. He said what he'd look for in the different bands, and so you were left with a picture. And when the results came out, you actually understood why bands had got the prizes, because you knew what he'd been looking for. It was absolutely, you know, credit to the adjudicators on this this Pontins contest, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely. And while we're talking about credit, let's give credit to James Scott for the choice of music. We alluded earlier to the new commission from Gareth Churchill, but I think across the five sections, the choices have gone down well with the players and well with the audience.
Yeah, there was lots of people in listening, wasn't there, Malcolm? I mean, in all the sections.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the highlights of the weekend, really, is the fact that people wanted to come in and listen. What was interesting, particularly the championship section, Blitz, 25 years after its commission for the National Brass Band Championships of Great Britain. It's a very, very difficult piece, you know, John. I think it is one of those pieces, I have to say. I think players will either love or loathe it, rehearsing it and playing it, and the same will go for conductors and audiences. But it's a very, very difficult piece of music, and James Scott picked a good choice there.
Yeah, I think all his music was well chosen, and obviously the bands had a really interesting time, because the performances in the main were there was some really good standard of playing, wasn't there?
Yeah, there's been some good playing this weekend. We cannot sort of let this podcast go by without actually commenting on that. Some of the performances have been excellent. More than a couple of bands, the comment was sort of being made, not just from the audience, but from the adjudicators, we understand, that, you know, performances were certainly far better than the section they were playing in. They've raised the standard. Certainly noticeable from the things we picked up prior to the contest, that bands were looking to come to Pontins this weekend to finish the year on a high and go into 2007 with a real confidence. Yeah.
And I think that was reflected in the atmosphere around the camp, wasn't it?
It was great. It was a great atmosphere. I mean, it has been Bonfire Weekend, and there's been fireworks going off all weekend, it has to be said. And as we're coming to the end of this podcast, it seems to have died off a little bit. But the atmosphere was great. If you come to Pontins, you know what you're getting. It's a social event. It's very, very important to people to actually have the opportunity to mix with old friends, say hello, have a beer.
Mind you, having said that, Malcolm, they had to wait a long time on Saturday night, didn't they, to get socialising?
Well, where do we start, John, with the third and fourth section in the Lunars Bar?
What happened there, if we explain, is that on the Saturday in the Lunars Bar, in the morning it was the fourth section, and in the afternoon it was the third section. And the idea being that by the early evening, the two sections would have been done and dusted. There were 38 bands in total over spanning those two sections. What happened was the music was filling a little bit longer, perhaps, than had been thought. And it was only just over three bands to the hour we're getting through. And it did cause problems. It started in the morning, didn't it?
It seems to have started in the morning in the fourth section. And Facets of Glass, to be fair, isn't the longest piece in the world. So it's rather strange that it was getting to the stage at some point where it was only three bands an hour. But it had a knock-on effect, didn't it? I mean, one of the things I think is important to say is that certainly in the third section, yourself included, you were anticipating going on stage at a particular time. And in some cases, unfortunately, it was 2 or 3 hours after that anticipated time that you went on stage. So it was actually, we've got to give credit here to, I will give credit, and I'm sure you will as well, John, to the musicians and the MDs involved, because they had to keep motivating themselves after a period. It's
like Malcolm's saying, the bands and the conductors and everything were very patient, and there was no aggression or aggro or anything. It was just bands taking time to get on and off stage. It was all but 11 o'clock, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was 11 o'clock. I mean, if there are any implications for Pontins itself, it's just that, as we said right at the beginning, the social side is important. And what was really unfortunate is that there were actually social events going on elsewhere on the complex. The Mouthpiece.com Brass Band were playing at 7:30, and at 9 o'clock you had the National Youth Jazz Orchestra. Now, I mean, obviously there were people in there, but it's just unfortunate that at the same time the contest was still going on. Yeah. You know, it's just one of those things. I think, you know, in hindsight, people will come away from this weekend and go, okay, yeah, fair enough. Let's learn from it for next year and beyond.
It has happened before where, you know, a contest has gone on and, you know, the timings of the piece and getting the bands on and off has created a problem. The third and fourth section suffered from that very, very similar problem, didn't it? Lightning, what did they say? Lightning shouldn't strike twice, but there you go.
Talking of lightning striking twice, John, I managed to catch up with Dario Tugalev over the weekend, and he confirmed what he actually confirmed to each and every contest, that 2007 Pontins Championship will take place, which is tremendous news, but it will take place on the first weekend of November. But fear not, traditionalists who like to come to Pontins at the end of October. He is hopeful of getting the actual contest back to its original last weekend in October date, so look out for that one.
And that brings us to the end of this podcast from the Pontins Championships 2006.
Our thanks go to Pontins for their hospitality this weekend, Roy Rowe for his adjudication comments, Dave Tinker for joining John and myself in this podcast, and as always, the Fairy Band and Phil Lawrence for the Four Bars Rest podcast theme. From Prestatyn, goodbye.